for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. Using science to debunk myths. From the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back. 2024 is just around the corner. Those of you in the United States, I mean, it's scary, isn't it? We've got another election cycle. I'm thinking that another term of Joe Biden is beyond the pale. We are going to talk about the possibility that Barack Obama's wife, Michelle Obama, might be in the running. To help us out, we've got a great guest, Gerald Gilbert. He's the author of Michelle Obama 2024, Her Real Life Story and Plan for Power. And he's director of the documentary Michelle Obama 2024. Gilbert is a political commentator and foreign policy analyst based in Los Angeles. He's produced documentary feature films on Barack Obama, Dreams from My Real Father in 2012, American Politics, There's No Place Like Utopia, and Donald Trump, Trump, The Art of the Insult. He also produced films on Middle East politics, including Farewell Israel and Atomic Jihad. Gilbert's other films cover music icons Bob Dylan, Inside Bob Dylan's Jesus Years, as well as comedies on Paul McCartney and Elvis Presley. You know, if you want to talk about anything to do with American elections, be prepared for irony, be prepared to be surprised and shocked. I'm not actually American. I've been married to an American for some years. I've lived there. Those of us outside of the US, I mean, it's amazing what goes on in America. I know we've had the wonderful time with Donald Trump. He was a breath of fresh air. To me, he was probably a non-politician who was shaking things up. He said he'd drain the swamp. Did he drain the swamp? I don't know. He tried. Russiagate and all the rest of it kind of scuppered the whole plan. We've now got the war in Ukraine and the threat there. The Hunter Biden laptop could be coming to the fore and sleepy Joe Biden could be on the way out. Would we even need to get to 2024 before the so-called proverbial horse manure hits the fan? I don't know. Joel Gilbert, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good to be here. Thank you.
Such a pleasure to have you on the show. Yeah, Michelle Obama. I mean, most people would think that's incredible. You know, you've done a lot of work on this. You know, obviously you're prepared to put your money where your mouth is. What persuades you that Michelle Obama is going to be running for office?
Well, I've been following the Obamas for years. You mentioned my 2012 film, Dreams from My Real Father, about Barack Obama's background. I went into great detail of his upbringing in Hawaii, and I showed that he was actually raised by a man named Frank Marshall Davis, who was an American communist out of Chicago and was a Soviet agent during the Cold War. And I made the case that that probably was Obama's biological father and that Obama was radicalized by him. So I'm pretty well known for that one, but I continued to follow the Obamas over the years. And I noticed that about 4 or 5 years ago that Michelle Obama was copying Barack Obama, mimicking everything he did to run for president. Barack had a voter registration organization in Chicago called Project Vote before he ran for president. Michelle started a voter registration organization called When We All Vote, and she's been running around the country registering voters and promoting Democrat causes in swing states, very well funded. Secondly, Barack based his candidacy on his personal story, his book Dreams from My Father. Michelle wrote two autobiographies, one called Becoming, and then a new one just now called The Light We Carry, and has movies about them on Netflix now. And lastly, Barack was the keynote speaker at the Democrat convention for John Kerry. The keynote speaker introduces the candidate, and they usually think that's the person who'll be the candidate at the next convention. So sure enough, Michelle was the keynote speaker for Joe Biden at the 2020 Democrat convention, introduced him. So I just see her keeping a very high profile in politics and reaching out to minorities and women and building her base of support while she's copying Barack's formula to become president. So I made this film and book. It's both a film and a book called Michelle Obama 2024. By the way, you can live stream the movie on salemnow.com, and then the book and DVD are on amazon.com.
Yeah, I want to make the point that it's not just you. I think even Joe Rogan on his podcast, said that we should be a bit aware of this, that things are out of foot to put Michelle Obama in the White House. And in effect, that could be Barack Obama's fourth term, wouldn't it, really? Because he actually said he quite liked the idea of being at the back room, you know, pulling the levers of power, you know, from behind closed doors. Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Well, if you look at what the Democrats have done just this year, they overturned 100 years of precedent, and they moved the first primary out of Iowa. Usually you start in Iowa, the candidates have to go and campaign in about 100 different counties and make their case to small groups of people. They changed that, and now they moved their first primary to South Carolina. South Carolina is very interesting because Michelle Obama calls that a home, her adopted home state, because her grandparents are from South Carolina, and she used to go there when she grew up to family reunions. Secondly, half of the Democrat Party voters in the primaries in South Carolina are African Americans. So that's an easy setup for Michelle Obama to win the first primary without having to campaign at all. And then they just named their convention city as Chicago. Lo and behold, Michelle Obama's hometown, where she could be anointed as the hometown girl, you know, nominee. Why would they choose Chicago? So that was a very strange choice. So they really, I think, have set it up for Michelle. You know, Biden released a video a couple weeks ago saying he's running for president, but that is not a real announcement. I think it was just a reaction to the fact that RFK Jr. got in the race, and they decided, well, let's kind of freeze the field and let everybody know not to, you know, support RFK. It's very easy to release a three-minute video. A normal campaign announcement is where you go to a big crowd and you travel the country. So I fully expect Biden will drop out for one reason or another sometime in the fall, and that's when the party will turn to Michelle Obama, because she's the only candidate that'll be really able to put together a campaign on short notice because of her name recognition. She's the most beloved Democrat in the country. She can raise $100 million in 2 weeks, get all the signatures she needs in 2 weeks, and no other candidate has that ability.
I've got to tell you, from the point of view of a man who lives in the UK, I live in the UK, I watched the BBC. They absolutely love the Obamas. You can't turn a page, you can't look on the website without seeing some latest story about the Obamas. Always very positive, never a bad word about Michelle. She's the perfect candidate in many ways, isn't she? Because she's black, she's a liberal, and she's got this impeccable background. You know, she's pulling the heartstrings, isn't she, for so many Democratic voters. A lot of women will vote for her, won't they? It's just beyond reason to think otherwise.
Right. Well, look, Michelle Obama is a very political person. She grew up in a political family in Chicago. Her father was a precinct captain working for the Democrat Party machine in Chicago. Michelle grew up and married a politician. You might remember from 2008 when Barack first ran for president, she was running around the country giving these inflammatory political speeches to huge crowds on her own. And she talked about the campaign as if she was the co-candidate. She said, Barack and I and our campaign and what we're going to do in the White House. And she said a lot of nasty things about America. And then once she went over the top, she said, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country, when Barack won a primary. And that got everyone's attention. And all of a sudden, people were paying attention to what she was saying. Now, she said a lot worse things than that, but that's what they focused on. And that's when the Obama campaign told her, look, Barack could win the White House except for you. People are going to hate you and not vote for Barack because of you. You need to take a step back. So that's when she decided, they came up with a new story. They said, well, Michelle hates politics, and she just wants to be the mom in chief. So that was the cover story for a very highly political person. Michelle is actually a better politician than Barack. She's a better speaker. She comes across more authentic. I think she's been, you know, quietly building up her audience. She's had 15 years of all positive publicity, hundreds of magazine covers, hundreds of talk shows, sitcoms, you name it. And she's probably the most popular person in America, if not the whole world at this point. And I feel certain that she's leveraging that to kind of lay in the background a little bit, and then she can come forward and say, well, you know, I hate politics, but I love this country and I love your children, and people have asked me, so I'm going to run for president to bring the country together again. That's going to be her way of coming into the race.
But Joel, what do you think would be her actual policies then instituted? Obviously, under Barack or under Joe Biden, it's a complete disaster. And yeah, this is, you know, a lot of people make the point that Joe Biden is actually just a Barack Obama 3.0, his third term, probably two, probably who knows. What do you think Michelle would do then for policy? What would we see happen to America then? Would it just be a complete destructive continuation of destruction or what?
It would be, because Michelle Obama really has never had any original thoughts or any original policies. She just kind of follows whatever the Democrats are saying or doing. You can look at her Twitter account. She just kind of repeats it. When she introduced Joe Biden, for example, in 2020 at the Democrat convention, she went through all the basic talking points. She said, you know, the Black Lives Matter protests were peaceful, and she talked about an insurrection later. So she just mimics whatever's going on. And she has a very strong psychological need to fit in, to show that she's a part of the group and to get recognized. And I think that's what's driving her to seek more and more publicity and more political power. So you're going to see just the very same things that you see now. Now, like Barack Obama ran for president, didn't really tell us what he really thought. He ran kind of as a mainstream candidate in 2008. He said, marriage is between a man and God and a woman, and I'll obey the Constitution. And it was only 5 days before the election where Obama said, we're 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. He kind of let that slip out. Nobody really knew what he was talking about. They elected him anyway, and he threw the voters under the bus and pursued a radical agenda that no one voted for. So look for Michelle to come out and say, well, I want to bring us together again, and I want to, you know, make a difference and help the country. But as soon as she gets elected, if she does, she'll be pursuing these radical policies.
Yeah.
What kind of Newt radical Gingrich, policies?
I just want to add that Newt Gingrich, I mean, he's still, a lot of people pay attention to him still. He went on Fox News and made a point that 9,000 people attended an LA event with Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah Winfrey in the corner of Michelle Obama, that's a very, very powerful duo, isn't it, Joel? That duo right there is going to win a lot of votes.
Well, Oprah was one of the big supporters of Barack way back in 2008. She really introduced him to the country. She brought along her huge audience of suburban women who also supported Barack. Now, I was actually at that LA event that they filmed back in December that they're now showing on Netflix at the YouTube Theater. And ostensibly, it was supposed to be a book tour, you know, type of interview. I got there 2 hours early, and it was like a campaign event. People were there 2 hours early. It was full. People were singing and dancing and buying up merchandise and dancing, and it was just pandemonium. Michelle came out. She's like the superstar. People are screaming. So I expected questions about Michelle's book, but it was mostly political. Oprah asked her political questions. She said, we never had any scandals when Barack and I were in the White House. You know, all these things that were total nonsense, but pretty much mimic the Democrat Party line of what they believe in.
Yeah, I want to bring in Joe Olson. Joe Olson, you got a great view in Texas of the whole thing. What's your take on this?
Well, I have my own name for Mr. Obama's two autobiographies, which were actually ghostwritten by Bill Ayers. I call it Daydreaming I Had a Daddy. And the amazing thing is, he didn't write either of those books, but he won a Grammy for each one for his audiobook version of those. But we know he read it at least once. And he also got a Nobel Peace Prize before he went and started wars in a half dozen different countries. And he also won a 2020 Oscar Award for Best Documentary called American Factory. So this guy's 100% synthetic mass media produced person, and as far as Moochie, as Rush Limbaugh used to call her, and Obambi, as I call them, because they bombed absolutely everywhere, and I'm still never forgiven them for the 2,200 guns they sent with Fast and Furious across the border with Mexico, and have murdered thousands of people in Mexico, and that's an act of war against Mexico. So, you know, these people are not who you want to have leaders, and they stole the election in Texas, because in Texas, what happens in the primary, Hillary won the primary vote, but you elect delegates in conventions that are caucuses that are held after the voting polls close. But all of those were black activists, and she stole the vote in a half dozen states. So she stole 2008 from Rep Tillery.
Joe, what do you say to that, Joe?
Well, look, Barack Obama has a long history in this country of saying certain things and doing other things. He's got the full support of the media complex, and these are all these different stories of Obama getting all these prizes and awards. It's because they love the Obamas, and that's how, it's nostalgia. Michelle Obama can appeal to nostalgia. Remember how much you loved the Obama years, and, you know, we never had any scandals. So I just think it's all been set up, and all of the stories you've heard about Michelle, I actually go into that in the movie and the film. Michelle's been promoting this background story of her life, which is completely false. She loves to tell stories of having suffered racial discrimination and racial slights growing up, and people held her back in life because of her skin color. It's all total nonsense. In reality, Michelle spent her childhood running away from the black community. She has nothing in common with any of the black people in Chicago. She had a chance to go to schools, elementary and high school, near her house with all black students. She ran away an hour and a half away to go to exclusive schools. She was in a dance group for 10 years. She performed at the Chicago Theater, Hilton International Hotel. She went to Paris when she was in high school with her French club in her class. She used to get beat up by black kids. She even talked about it openly. She said that they would beat her up for talking white and acting white. She talks about getting in a fist fight with a girl who called her an Oreo, meaning you're black on the outside, but you're really a white girl on the inside. In fact, Barack said the reason he liked Michelle when he met her is because her family reminded him of Leave It to Beaver, and Michelle was kind of like his old grandmother from Kansas. So Michelle really has a background where she ran away from the black community. I go into all that because I went to Chicago. I met and talked to her high school and elementary school classmates, three of her boyfriends, teachers in elementary and high school, talked to her thesis advisor at Princeton, and got a completely different picture of Michelle Obama. Then Michelle, her first two jobs in Chicago, she worked for the mayor of Chicago with Valerie Jarrett. Michelle was the assistant planning commissioner, and her main job was to knock down the houses of the projects, of the black people living in these projects near downtown Chicago. They wanted the land to give it away to the Democrat Party developers like Tony Rezko. So Michelle made about 20,000 black people homeless, and she told them it would be good for them. Then she got a job at the University of Chicago Hospital, where they paid her hundreds of thousands of dollars to start something called the Southside Health Collaborative. And what this program was, they were losing too much money because blacks from the south side of Chicago were coming to their emergency room at the University of Chicago Medical Center, and some of them didn't have insurance. They'd lose about $50 million a year. So Michelle's job was, if you were black and showed up at the hospital without insurance, Michelle would put you in a van and then dump you at these crappy clinics on the south side. And Michelle would tell them, it's better for you if we don't give you access to health care. So Michelle had jobs where she worked for white liberal elites, and they paid her a ton of money to deal with their problems they were having with black people. Michelle was like the front woman that would try to get rid of their problems for them. They couldn't hire a white person to take away health care and take away homes from black people. They hired a black person in Michelle. So Michelle has a history in Chicago of exploiting the black community in her working career. She has a history of running away from the black community. She married a biracial man. She moved to Hyde Park. So that's the real story of Michelle Obama. She has had nothing to do with the black community her whole life. She took advantage of them and exploited them for profit. And to add insult to injury, today you see her running around trying to pretend to be one of these ordinary black folks that she exploited all her life. In the movie version of Michelle Obama 2024, you can even see her talking to black audiences during the campaign, and she puts on a phony urban accent, demeaning and insulting, but she tries to play off that, oh, I'm just one of you folks, when in fact, Michelle is really more of an Oreo, like they used to call her as a kid. She's really a white girl who's black on the outside but a white on the inside, and has no experiences and nothing in common with minorities at all.
Joel Gilbert, you're revealing the truth about Michelle Obama. We want to hear some more. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Laws like what we're seeing in California with AB 587, which is essentially a censorship law, hidden, it's wolves in sheep's clothing. They say that it's for transparency and to combat hate, but we all know what that means.
Well, misinformation, hate, I mean, what? It's all in the eyes of the beholder, and when the eyes of the beholder are the left and the radical left, then we know what the results are.
Yeah, so specifically what this law is trying to do is get social media companies to have extreme reporting requirements with the state of California in terms of moderation analytics. The clear violation of the First Amendment is where they force social media companies to have policies around the following phrases: misinformation, disinformation, hate speech, extremism, and radicalization. Notice, and that's it. They require you have policies about hate, which is a totally undefined term. They don't define it. So, you know, these terms are weaponized, and we can't let laws like this go through, because all that they're going to do is create this chilling effect and pressure for companies to take down this content.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
If you're talking about it,
the United States of America should never, ever default on its debt.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Michelle Obama, is she really as fake as her husband Barack Obama? Joel Gilbert, author of Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story, and Plan for Power. The story that what you're conveying, Joel, is the sense that this is another fraud. You know, we're being set up again, ripped off, and being sold a pup. You know, I've looked at Barack Obama and the controversies over his birth certificate, whether he actually went to Harvard Law School, all this and that. Everything about his past seems under seal. You can't really do a deep dive on this guy, but Michelle Obama, you know, you can get more, hopefully get more about her. Conspiracy theories are abounding, aren't they? I mean, is Michelle Obama more or as much of a fake as Barack Obama? How far do you go on this Michelle Obama conspiracy theory story thing? You know, what's your take on that? I'm not mentioning anything that I'm tempted to mention something, but I want to see where you go with this. Tell me,
well, I'll mention it.
How far can we go?
Do you want me to mention it? I think I know. Are you talking about Joan Rivers?
Let Joel do it. Come on, Joel. Okay, I don't want to hear from you. I mean, you're the researcher.
First of all, Michelle's story that she's been telling for years about how she struggled in life, was held back in life, her family suffered because of their skin color, total nonsense, complete lie. Her background story that she's been pushing is more fictitious than her husband, Barack. Now, I get inquiries on almost every interview I do on Twitter. People say, well, and people comment about Michelle, oh, is she a man? Is she a dude? No, she's not a man. That was a joke by a comedian, Joan Rivers, who said, well, Michelle's transgender. Now, that was a joke that everybody picked up on online and made very kind of mean-spirited memes and photos because of all her America bashing. But I assure you that Michelle is female, always has been female. But her story that she tells, she can't show up and say, let's say in 2008, I'll give you an example. Michelle, I talked to her hairdresser that she had from age 18 in Chicago. I interviewed him, a celebrity hairdresser named Michael Ronnie Flowers. From age 18, Michelle had a celebrity hairdresser. She was always going down to the Miracle Mile in Chicago and getting all these fashionable clothes from these designers like Ikram Goldman and Maria Pinto. Everywhere she went, Princeton, Harvard, she dressed with all the latest fashions. In 2005, when Barack was senator, Michelle was voted the number to the Vanity Fair top 25 international best dress list. This is Michelle Obama. All the hairstyles and all the clothing from the fashion designers landed her on the international best dress list in 2005. In 2008, Michelle shows up on the campaign trail for Barack dressed like a homeless person. She wears a t-shirt, an old sweater, and doesn't comb her hair because she can't show up on the campaign trail all dressed up with the fancy hair and clothes and say, "Hi, I'm another Harvard lawyer like my husband. We're a couple of elites from Hyde Park in Chicago." She came manipulating the audiences to say, "Well, I'm some southern black housewife from the 1950s. That's how she dressed and didn't even comb her hair. And she tried to portray herself as something she's not. She put on a fake urban accent when speaking to black voters. And she tried to manipulate the audience and chronically tries to manipulate minorities and black voters with these phony stories of her suffering from racial discrimination to try to get their sympathy and votes. So that's who Michelle Obama is. She's very manipulative. She gives a fake background story, doesn't want people to know she was in exclusive private dance classes for 10 years, doesn't want people to know she went to Paris with her French club in high school. She doesn't want you to know all the exclusive education she got and all the privileged upbringing she had from a political family. She also spent years growing up in Jesse Jackson's house because she was best friends in the exclusive high school with his daughter Santita. So she was there when Jesse was running for president. Michelle saw it all. So she's a very, very political person, and she's very manipulative in trying to trick and fool voters, especially minorities, into pretending she's one of them. When, as I told you earlier, Michelle spent her career in Chicago exploiting the black community and being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars by rich white elites to manipulate the black population.
Joe Posner, I mean, I was going to say what you were going to say, but I wanted to get Joel's take on it. You know, the story about Joan Rivers is an interesting one because, correct me if I'm wrong, but within 2 weeks of her making that statement, she was dead. That is where people make the link, isn't it? That's the gravity of it. Is it something that we should consider?
That's what got the theory more popularity and more of a conspiracy theory to it. Oh, well, she died. Maybe the Obamas killed her because she outed Michelle as transgender. Absolutely not true. She's not transgender. She's always been female. In the film, which you can see, there's many photos of Michelle as a child and young teenager. She's very obviously always been female.
Yeah, I've heard stories about the fact that her mother died recently, and in the will it used the word not Michelle but Michael.
No, that's not true. That's just an internet rumor. No. Her mother's very much alive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Olson, you've got anything to say on this controversy?
Well, getting back to Obambi, I attended a meeting with Jerome Corsi after he wrote a book called Obama Nation in 2008, and he had done some further research. He wrote another book in 2011 called Where's the Birth Certificate, which is certainly a questionable piece of Obama history. But then he was at a meeting here in Houston in 2015. I attended the meeting, and he had slides that showed that Obama doesn't actually have African features. He's got more Indonesian features. And so there's really a question whether he's African-American or what he is. I, to be honest, when you look at the pictures of the people that he suspected of being his parents, absolute knockoff. And then there's also photos of Sasha and Malaya that show that they don't have family resemblance to either one of Barack or Moochie. So, you know, there's questions about the children. There's no pictures of pregnancies, and there's no birth certificates in their name, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I can comment on a couple of things there. Look, as in my film Dreams from My Real Father, I showed the fact that Barack Obama had a nose job in about 2003. He had a much larger nose, looked more African American. When he had the nose job, it kind of gave him a more Asian-looking, feature. So Barack Obama, despite the nose job, is still the spitting image of Frank Marshall Davis, his biological father. In terms of the Obama kids, I show in my film that the older girl, Malia, really does look a lot like Barack and looks at the spitting image of Barack's mother, Anne, whereas the second daughter, Sasha, there's a very interesting story there, and I think I'm pointing to a different biological father, though Michelle is still the mother of the daughter, Sasha. The two girls look absolutely nothing alike. They don't look like half-sisters or sisters at all, and I think there's a reason for that, so you can watch the film Michelle Obama 2024. I think I found the reason behind that.
Mm. Somebody
and
pointed out to me that...
go ahead.
Sorry, Joe, carry on. Well, I just want to add that, I mean, I'm looking at the evidence that's been presented to me. I'm very neutral on this. I don't have a dog in this fight at all. Michelle Obama's official Illinois voter registration card, 1994, apparently shows that she was registered to vote as a male. And the State of Illinois Board of Elections form indicating Michelle Obama changed her sex on her voting records from male to female on July 14th, 2008. They've said that's a clerical error.
That's correct. Look, I actually am the one that got those documents from the Illinois Election Board, and I wrote an article about that on American Thinker called Michelle Obama's Changing Sexual Identity. And it is a fact. It's somewhat coincidental, but she did, whenever she registered, there's a little box, and you circle M or F if you're male or female, and she did register to vote as a male in 1994. And then in 2007, when Barack was running for president, she changed it officially from male to female. There's just no question, though, that Michelle is female, has always been female. It's got to have been just when she circled the box, she didn't look at it properly. That's the only explanation, but it does feed that whole, internet theory, is she a dude? She's not a man, and I did find that document and found it pretty funny.
Mm. Yeah, Joe Olson, Joe Posner, anything to add to that one?
Well, I don't personally. Maybe Joe does, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen her dancing on the Ellen DeGeneres show in some rather revealing slacks. And she has a bulge. Most ladies don't have a bulge. But, who knows? I'm at this point, that's not a critical issue with me, other than the fact that if you've got a system where everything is a complete fraud, then you have a reason to not support that system. And I particularly don't care these people. They set race relations back in the United States 50 years in their 8 years in office, and I don't want to see them make it even worse.
Well, let me comment.
The idea of integrity.
Tell you how that, where that started. Barack ran for president on this idea that he's going to bring us together because of a unique background. What happened is the policies he had were so bad that by his third year in office, he had really done nothing for the black community. Jobs had left, illegals were coming in, taking away jobs, driving down wages, and there was really a question. It wasn't certain the black community would come out and support Barack again. They were going to stay home when Obama was running for re-election. So that's when the Trayvon Martin case happened, where he was shot by George Zimmerman. Zimmerman was actually exonerated by the local police. They said they investigated for weeks and said it was self-defense. I actually made a film about this called The Trayvon Hoax, where I showed that the girl, the hefty Haitian-American girl, who was 2 years older and 150 pounds heavier than Trayvon, and came forward weeks later and said that she was Trayvon's girlfriend, was on the phone with him and heard things on the phone to implicate Zimmerman. That was the reason Zimmerman got arrested. It turns out that wasn't Trayvon's girlfriend. It was a different girl named Brittany Eugene. And Brittany Eugene refused to lie to the police. So that's why they recruited this other girl to lie to the police and get Zimmerman arrested. But it was from that case that they realized, it was 6 months before the election in 2012, that they could try to inflame the black community with charges of racism and the system being against them. They sent Al Sharpton down there and Crump, The DOJ got involved, and that's how Black Lives Matter was formed. And Obama embraced Black Lives Matter, had him come to the White House, and he embraced that idea of black separatism in order to get elected again. That's how he got reelected. So that's how Obama and Michelle inflamed race relations in this country and flipped it. It was about 70% of blacks and whites had a positive view of race relations when Obama was elected president. When he left office, it was the opposite, only 30%. So the Obamas, who are essentially a white couple, the two of them, used their connections, their minimal connections to the black community to inflame them to get political support. Another story Michelle tells, for example, I'll give you two stories she tells that I debunked completely. She's been telling for 15 years the story about how her high school counselor racially profiled her about her application to Princeton University, told her, well, you're black, maybe you're stretching, maybe you shouldn't go to Princeton. Well, I found out her high school counselor was a church-going black woman, so there's no way she racially profiled her. It's total nonsense. Another story Michelle loves to tell, she claims that when she was growing up in Chicago on the South Side, that she watched White Flight and saw white people move out of the neighborhood because they were afraid of the black people. Well, first of all, Michelle didn't grow up on the South Side of Chicago. She grew up on the East Side on the lake near Jesse Jackson's house, very exclusive area, not on the South Side. Secondly, the White Flight, when the whites moved out of that area, was in the middle 60s, 1965. Michelle did not move into that area until she was 6 years old in 1970. So in 1970, when Michelle moved to that area, it was all black by that time. The whites moved out in the mid-60s mostly because of crime. And then the blacks came in and snapped up these beautiful homes that had nice schools in the area when the whites left, and that's what Michelle's family did. It was a middle-class community, and the whites were long gone. So Michelle completely lies when she says, when I grew up in the 70s, that she saw white kids moving out of the neighborhood. It never happened. The only people actually doing White Flight in the 70s was Michelle and her brother Craig, because instead of going to the black high school a block from their house, they went an hour and a half away. Her brother Craig went to a Catholic school an hour away, and their family was not even Catholic. Michelle went to Whitney Young High School, a magnet school, an hour and a half away. So the only people running away from blacks was Michelle Robinson and her family. She never saw any white flight. So these are the stories of racial slights and racial problems that she lies about in order to inflame and manipulate black voters. And just like Barack did it with the Trayvon Martin case, Michelle is still doing it to this day.
Joe Gilbert, I like the idea. We're getting some truths out about the Obamas. We're going to go a bit more in a second. This is TNT Radio.
Never forget. Never forget the COVID tyranny that was imposed upon us.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Listen to this 30-second compilation and remember, and then reject the Great Reset.
Vaccines, it's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F*** them, f*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No, screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
No mask, get out.
Don't wear a mask or get off.
Listen to the voices of tyranny. Never forget those voices. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute, urging you to reject the Great Reset.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A social credit system was introduced in China in 2014. China's social credit system is a nationwide government program for regulation of citizens' behavior based on a point system. Under this system, citizens are assessed using data collected from court documents, government or corporate records, and even from neighbors and observers. Citizens with higher scores are eligible for bank loans, free medical checkups, and other services in demand. Points are deducted for traffic violations, defaulting on loan payments, smoking in non-smoking zones, buying or playing too many video games, posting false news stories online, and other transgressions deemed appropriate by authorities. Citizens with bad social credit scores can be denied essential services, and blacklists are available for employers, educational institutions, and credit providers to reference. When introduced by China's State Council, it was announced the system would favor the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven, while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, in the chat between us, Joe Postman and Joe Olson, you're raising questions. Let's get it out there. You guys, you've got more questions for Joe. Put it to him.
Well, I guess the only question I had was just to go back to, what do you think we would see in sort of specific policies that Michelle might roll out? What do you think specifically might come out? If she were in the presidency.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, she has no policies. All she does is mimic and repeat what others say. She really has never had many original ideas. Look at her Twitter account, Michelle Obama on Twitter. She's just repeating and tweeting, and I've been to her event with Oprah. I've seen her speak at these voter registration rallies, and she just straight up repeats whatever the Democrat Party, the most progressives, are talking about. She talks about the insurrection. She talks about Black Lives Matter was a peaceful protest. She just lies and lies and says what the Democrat Party says. So don't look for anything different. Whatever they're doing right now, what Biden is doing, it'll be a continuation of this type of policy. And I go into that as well as something called, Michelle talks about on these book tours, in her book, she talks about having something called imposter syndrome. She says openly, I have imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is, she has a fear that people will find out that she's not supposed to be there. Because everything she's done with these jobs that she got in Chicago, getting into Princeton University, she really wasn't qualified for. She got into Princeton because, even with low test scores, because they had a lot of affirmative action going on in the 80s. Her brother was a basketball player there. So she gets into Princeton, and right away she gets terrible grades. So she runs to the sociology department, which is the easiest major you can do. And then, of all things, she studies African-American studies. You know, it's a girl from a black area in Chicago, and she goes to Princeton to study African-American studies. Imagine what a waste of time that was. So when she got to Chicago, they created these jobs for her that she really was promoted and given all this money to deal with the black people that the white liberals were having problems with. So she's always afraid that they're going to find out she doesn't belong there. So that's kind of what's driving her to seek the presidency, I believe, to show that she belongs. So once she gets into office, if she does, she'll simply fulfill the policies of the Democrat Party and the globalists, so that she'll be accepted. She wants to be accepted more than anything else. She wants to feel that she belongs and that she deserves the position she's in. And to do that, she's simply going to fulfill the aspirations of the policies of the Democrats. And you can see all of this. I've got Michelle. She's talking about it. She went on this book tour with the first book, Becoming, for about a year, sold out arenas all over the country, even in Europe. And she would talk in these arenas for almost 2 hours and answer questions. And she really gave too much information. In the book, she didn't give all that information. But because she was trying to please the crowd, she would actually give more information that she probably should have. So she talked about this imposter syndrome quite a bit. And I've got her on tape. It's in the movie. So again, you can go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com, you can actually live stream the movie or get the DVD. And then the book version is on amazon.com.
Yeah, what about the rumors that they were breaking up? I mean, I've read it in IB Times, International Business Times, as a headline story last year that Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, were living separately. Talk of divorce speculations. What do you make of that one?
Well, I don't think that's true. Michelle does go into some detail, and there was tremendous conflict in the marriage starting in about 2000, year 2000, when Barack, he was a state senator, and he ran for Congress against Bobby Rush. Now, Bobby Rush in Chicago was a much beloved figure who was one of the original founders of the Black Panthers in the 60s. So Michelle told him, you can't beat Bobby Rush. You should not run against Bobby Rush. So he insisted on running anyway. And Barack went through all their money. he went to the Democrat convention in Los Angeles and couldn't get in, you know, and he ran up credit cards. And I actually found the documents where Michelle Obama's mother had to take out a loan on her house for $50,000 to bail them out of their debt. So there were very bad relations for a couple of years there. And Michelle was very angry with him. She said she felt like a single mother because Barack was in Springfield, Illinois, with the state Senate. And then he ran for office against Bobby Rush and lost very badly. So that's when I believe that there was a man who was close to the Obamas that was comforting Michelle a little bit too much when she was in conflict with Barack. And that's the father of the second child of Sasha. So there were some years of conflict, and apparently they got over them for the most part. But I detail that in the film, in the book, quite a bit. You can really learn about how much they were at odds for some years before Barack ran for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, one thing that always troubled me, and maybe me being a conspiracy theorist, but I've yet to see a photograph of Michelle Obama pregnant. And I know it's trivial, but those little things, they stay in the back of your head. What do you say to people who raise that issue?
It's just not an issue. It's not true. The real and by the way, I met Michelle's mother, and I even asked her about my theory that Sasha was not the daughter of Barack. And it's very surprising what she told me. She's actually in the movie. But I wouldn't worry about not seeing pregnant photos. I'm sure Michelle is the mother of both children. The issue is the father of the second child. So there's always a slightly different issue than you read about online. Just like with the birth certificate. The issue is not that Barack doesn't have a birth certificate. The issue is who is the real father. And the birth certificate would reveal who the real father is. That's why they didn't want to release it. So there's a little different version than what you hear about.
Well, I think that you make a good point.
Sorry, Joe.
I was just going to say, I think that Joel makes a good point when he says that, you know, she would really just follow whoever was paying her and, you know, controlling the whole operation, telling her what to do. One thing that I remember was she was involved with the school lunch program, right? Wasn't that a big thing she was involved with during Obama? And I remember one thing, because, you know, I'm very much into healthy eating food. And I remember one quote that came out of that was that ketchup under her program was considered a serving of vegetables. And, you know, she was really just following what, you know, mass producers of, you know, the most terribly unnutritious, unhealthy food you can imagine, but, you know, mass produced, you know, and I'm sure her and Obama probably made lots of money from whatever corporations, you know, got those contracts to produce this slop, you know, ketchup as a serving of vegetables.
Interestingly, look, Michelle, just 2 days ago, she announced the formation of, she's now the CEO and founder of a juice company that makes juice for kids. And allegedly this is called Plezi, and this juice supposedly has much less sugar than kids get. So she's kind of got a new continuation of this, you know, school lunch program, but I think she's just trying to show her concern for children. This is her building her audience of women and minorities. If Michelle, you know, gets 95% of the vote of women and minorities, she's the next president. So I think this is part of her outreach to become a sympathetic figure with her new low-sugar juice for kids.
Yeah, it'll still be completely devoid of nutrients, though. Yeah, very easy to sell to people, isn't it?
Joe Olson, anything more to add?
Well, I remember Nancy Reagan saying ketchup was a vegetable in 1981, so may not be credited directly to her, but it has things that she substituted. And then she also wanted the kids to eat all kinds of stuff, you know, like eat your daily servings of kale. And she had a whole bunch of weird stuff that were just not readily available for school lunches, number one. Number two, the kids weren't eating it. They were just dumping it in the trash. So, yeah, she was not a big success in that part.
Joel, I want to get to you to tell me about your you've got a sense of humor. You've done mockumentaries. And
yeah,
you know, people have said that it's a great form of educating people, a mockumentary. Humor is the way forward. Do you think that's the way to expose these corrupt politicians?
Well, look, with Michelle Obama, if I was Donald Trump or any Republican, the first thing I would say is, Michelle, are you going to apologize for what you did to the black community in Chicago? And Michelle, are you going to tell us how many millions of dollars you made denying access to health care for the black people in Chicago? Are you going to make amends for exploiting the black community? These are the things that will open the discussion that I think would really expose Michelle's weakest point, which is the fact that she has nothing in common and never had any relationship with the black community. It's much like Barack. When he ran for president in 2008, white people thought he was black, so they liked that. They voted for him. Oh, we like him. He's black. This is great. We have a black president. But black people weren't buying into it. They thought he's not black. He's biracial. He's from Hawaii. He went to Harvard. He's an elitist. So it took a long time and a lot of work by Michelle to convince the black community that Barack was black because they didn't consider him being black. Ironically, Michelle has the same problem because she, as I said, she spent her childhood running away from the black community. She blatantly lies about white flight and being discriminated against. And black people are no fools. You know, they see through this. And by highlighting this, Trump or any Republican, you know, if they came out and said, why did they call you an Oreo, which is a big insult, it's because she really talks like a white girl. She acts like a white girl. She married a biracial man. She got jobs exploiting the black community. So Michelle's a big phony. She's not a phony because she's a dude. She's not a dude, but she's someone who had a very poor relationship with black people all her life, and she's pretending now she's one of them. She wears these braids. You might see her latest hairstyle is these kind of African-American hairstyle with braids. She never had braids her entire life, but she's even said on this recent book tour, she said, oh, I couldn't wear braids in the White House because America couldn't handle it, because we're the first black family in the White House. She's always trying to highlight the fact that she's black, but she's really not. She's more white than she is black, and that's her biggest problem that she's still trying to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in your book, you have got 20 chapters. Chapter 17, you know, Michelle Goes Low. You know, what we're building up to is another sleazy politician in the White House. Do you think there's going to be any revelations that yet to come out that we, I mean, there's an Epstein connection. We know the Epstein thing. Is she in any way involved in that? We know Oprah is, you know, tenuously linked to that.
Well, we know, she was pretty close to Harvey Weinstein. Her daughter was an intern for Harvey Weinstein, one of his entertainment companies in Los Angeles. Look, Michelle was a globalist in Chicago when Barack was senator. She joined the Chicago Global Council, you know. I mean, she was just into kind of trying to fit in and being part of these big globalist organizations. In terms of big revelations, I think my film is just all revelations. You learn about her childhood, her trip to Paris, her father was a politician. She, you know, grew up with Jesse Jackson. The whole story of that Michelle tells about her life is complete nonsense, and it's meant to manipulate mostly black and minority voters into thinking that they should identify with her, when in fact she has nothing in common with them and had no experience with them. Her only experience was exploiting them to make a lot of money.
Mm. They say Sleepy Joe Biden's weak link is his son Hunter. Do you think the Obama children, the daughters, are they the weak link there?
Well, look, as much as we think Biden is the weak link, they sure took care of that, didn't they? They came out with the laptop. You'd think with that laptop coming out, his campaign would have been over. But the deep state and intelligence officers, they said, oh, no, it's Russian disinformation. So all the horrible things Hunter has done, selling his father's influence, cutting his father in on the money, the big guy, it has had no effect. You know, it's like nothing, because the media covers for him. And so does the Justice Department. The Obama daughters, you know, the one daughter works for Amazon. She's a writer on one of these shows in Los Angeles, and Sasha goes to USC. She's in her final year of college. So I don't think the daughters are going to have any effect, except for the fact that my film shows that Michelle was likely fooling around when she was fighting with Barack, and Sasha has a different father than the other girl.
Yeah, so nothing really there on the horizon that can call a halt to this Obama dynasty. It will be effectively the fourth term. Well, if we count Sleepy Joe.
Yeah. Look, there's nothing that the media won't cover for. If they can cover for Hunter Biden and get Joe in office and let him sit there, they can do anything. Michelle likes to talk about when they go low, we go high. No, Michelle goes very low. And she's really a big hypocrite in that way.
Yeah, Joe Gilbert, author of Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story and plan for power. It's an interesting book. I mean, there's a lot in there. I'm looking forward to seeing more and hearing more from you. Joe Gilbert, thank you very much for being on Sky Dragon Slaying.